Rupam diya vastutayo pavanitam.
Manena bhaktyo pashamena pujita.
Prasidatamesha sasatvatampati.
The same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Responsibly, everyone please repeat. Present here now.
Is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Whose true form. Cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees. Because of their unflinching surrender. May that same personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees, and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Report by Sri Prabhupada. Lord Krishna is not properly understood even by such exalted personalities as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. What to speak of ordinary men? But by his causeless mercy, he bestows the benediction of devotion upon his devotees, who can thus understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktya mam avijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvata. No one within this universe can understand Krishna in truth. But if one engages in devotional service, one can understand him perfectly well. This is also confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Maya sakta mana parta yogam yunjan madashaya ashankshayam samagrammam yathagyasyasi tachrunu. Now hear, O son of Pritha, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Lord Krishna himself teaches how one can understand him perfectly well without a doubt. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instructions of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. After instructing Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings, that he be pleased with everyone, and that everyone become perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. Nayasya sakshat bhavapadma jadi bi rupam diyavastu tayo pavarnitam maunena bhaktyo pashamena pujita prasidatam esha sasatatam pati. Present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Narad Muni is revered as the most exalted Vaishnava within the universe, and he is always traveling everywhere throughout space. He's the original spaceman without a Sputnik. And his only business is to enlighten people in the matter of Krishna consciousness. As we explained yesterday, a saintly person has only one desire, and that is to see everyone happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Of course, in the material world we have relative happiness, sukha and dukkha. But our constitutional position is ananda, or ever-increasing blissful condition, anandam buddhivardhanam, an ocean of ever-increasing joy. Krishna is anandamaya vyasa. He is always enjoying. He is Purushottama. So we are part of Krishna. We have the same qualities as Krishna, only we are different in quantity. He is Vibhu and we are Anu. He is very great and we are very small, but we have the same qualities. Just like sparks of the fire also have heat and light. But when the spark is separated from the fire, the heat and light of the spark are extinguished. So when we are separated from Krishna, we don't experience our natural blissful condition. And so we spend our time looking for that bliss, that purnamrit, complete nectar, which we're always hankering after that. We remember that, but due to ignorance, we don't recollect, we don't remember that it is our connection with Krishna which gives us that blissful feeling. So therefore we look in a can of beer, or we look in some drugs, or we look in a cinema, or we try to engage in different kinds of sense gratification. Is this where Purnamrit is? Is it here? Where's that taste I'm looking for? We do so many things. We smoke a cigarette and we think that there's some happiness there, and we smoke 2 cigarettes, 3 cigarettes. Finally, we just get cancer. This is not Purnamrit. And we go to a movie and we watch the movie, and maybe we get a little pleasure, and then we come out, and then we think, that's not it. What will we do now? In this way, the living being is wandering, Brahmanda Brahmite. He's wandering throughout the universe. There are 8,400,000 species of life. And we are traveling to each and every one of them. We want variety. Variety is the spice of life. If you just have boiled vegetables without any spice, there are no tastes. Not much. Unless you're one of those. Anyway, it's not considered cooked food. Unless there are ghee and spices in India. Cooked food means boiled food, steamed vegetables. That is meant for sick people. But variety, the spice of food and the spice of life. People want some variety. Why do they want variety? Because in the spiritual world there is variety. It is not that the spiritual world is without any form or any variety. The original variety is there. There are so many colors. There are so many forms and shapes. So many different devotees serving Krishna in so many different ways. Each and every devotee has a different feeling and a different way of serving Krishna. A variety is there, but in the material world, we're not getting satisfaction. We go from one body to another, sometimes enjoying as a pig, sometimes enjoying as a donkey, sometimes enjoying as a demigod, sometimes suffering in this way. Everything is always sukh and dukh. For some time happiness, and then it's like a wave, a sound wave. You know, it goes in ups and downs, plateau and then valley, and then plateau and then valley. So sometimes we're happy in the material world. We get some good fortune, we win the lottery, or we get a raise in pay, or something after which we're hankering, we achieve it. And then other times everything goes wrong. We can't even find a job, or we waste all our money in gambling and don't win anything, or we get in an accident and our house burns down and we don't have any insurance and everything goes wrong. There's a saying in the material world, Murphy's Law prevails. Have you heard of Murphy's Law? Yeah. Everything that could go wrong will go wrong. Murphy's Law. So everything goes wrong. We have those days when weeks and sometimes months and sometimes years when everything goes wrong. So we get both experiences, but never satisfaction. We get happiness and distress. When there's less distress, we say, I'm happy. When there's less happiness, we say, I'm distressed. When there's less light, we say it's dark. When there's more light, we say it's light. So one thing is just the absence of the other. When there's no darkness, we say it's light. So Narad Muni, he is bearing news of a different world, of the spiritual world. We have no experience of that. But Narad knows, as do all the devotees of the Lord, that this is the only solution to the problems of material existence. Birth, death, old age, and disease, no matter how you adjust everything, you can't be happy. Getting old, you put lots of makeup on, it still doesn't make you happy. You're getting old. Your kidneys start to fail, your liver doesn't work, your hair falls out, you get veins in your legs, you can't digest your food, and your nose is always blocked up or running. There are endless varieties of old age problems. And then throughout our life, from the beginning to the end, there are so many diseases, so many different diseases. They make fantastic breakthroughs in technology, and they cure this disease and they cure that disease, and no more of this disease, and now we have a vaccination for that one. But then new diseases come that they didn't have before. 50, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, there was no cancer. Very little instance of cancer. There was no AIDS. 50, 25 years ago, there was no AIDS. It was only come in the last 25 years. Hepatitis. C, there's A, B, and C, and D. So hepatitis C is a new thing. My brothers both discovered that they have it. They just discovered it in 1989, and there's no cure. The liver simply is eaten up. Once you lose your liver, you can't live. so many miseries in material life. And there's no solution except to get out of the bodily condition, to go back home, back to Godhead. So Narad Muni is traveling and claiming people. He's taking people back to Godhead. He's cutting people's attachment. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description in the 12th canto between Maharaj Prabuddha and, pardon me, actually it's between Lord Krishna and Uddhava. So just like we have the Bhagavad Gita discussion between Lord Krishna and Arjuna, there's also the Uddhava Gita. So there Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that if you truly want to be self-realized, if you want to understand your spiritual identity truly, if you're sincere about this, he says, O Uddhava, if you are to be truly self-realized, then you must associate always with sadhu, or saintly person. This word sadhu has different meanings, but one meaning of sadhu is one who cuts. Sadhu, he cuts. Cuts you. You must associate always with sadhu, who is just like a proficient surgeon, an expert surgeon, who has a double-edged lancet or knife. There's a knife with two edges, not just one for cutting, but both sides cut. Because when he's doing operations, he has to cut inside your body. So if you had to turn the knife over, but you can cut both ways. Inside, he's cutting skin, he's cutting different things inside your body. So the surgeon, he has this double-edged knife. So the sadhu, he is just like a surgeon with a double-edged knife. And he knows how to cut away the ulcerous gangrene of our mind and senses. So gangrene, it is a disease that many skiers get, those who go skiing or even in a war sometimes. When you have a wound, an infection, and it's not treated, the infection grows and grows, and gradually the gangrene can take over your whole body. Your whole body becomes rotten, or at least that part of your body. Sometimes people get gangrene in the leg. Kill you. So that's called gangrene. The only way is to cut it off. You can't cure it. All the flesh has gone dead. It's rotten. So the ulcerous gangrene of our mind and our senses, the sadhu, he's expert at cutting away the ulcerous gangrene of our mind and senses with the sword of transcendental words, which although painful in the beginning, is like nectar in the end. So when you get cut by a knife, you feel pain. But if that pain is meant for your ultimate good, then you don't mind it. Just like if you get a snake bite, sometimes they have to cut your hand or your arm, wherever your leg, wherever you got the snake bite. So there's some pain there, but if they don't cut out the poison quickly, it will go to your heart, kill you. So that pain, initial pain, is for your ultimate benefit. This is called Shreyas, as opposed to Prayas. Prayas means what gives us immediate gratification, sense gratification. We're all attached to sense gratification. We've been born in a so-called civilization. These are instructions for civilized human beings. Mahatma Gandhi was asked, "What do you think of Western civilization?" He said, "It would be a good idea." In other words, Western civilization is not a civilization. It would be a good idea if they became civilized. But we, in our modern civilization, we want everything instant. We've been trained to be very impatient. We want instant gratification from everything. We have no time. We're rushing here and there, everywhere, trying to get money, trying to get facility, trying to get more and more. We're taught that more is better. It's not true. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated, Kim Pramatasya Bahu Bihir Purokshaya Hayara Nayariya Varam Muhurtam Vidate Gatate Sreyase Yataha. Better to live in this world for one moment. Muhurta. Muhurta means just like Brahma Muhurta. It means a very auspicious time. So better to have one moment in full consciousness than to live like a tree for thousands of years. Quantity is not as important as quality of life. Human life, you are wandering Brahmanda Brahmide from one species to another, looking for satisfaction, but kona bhagyavan jeev, you will become very fortunate when you get the association of a pure devotee who can teach you the quality of life, who can give you the bhakti lata bij, the seed of pure devotion, of pure love of Krishna. He can plant that seed in your heart and help you to make progress, to understand the absolute truth. Instead of relative happiness, we want absolute happiness. We are also eternal. Krishna is eternal. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. He is nitya and we are nityanam. We are the many eternals. He is the supreme one. He is chetana. He is conscious. And we are chetananam. We are also conscious, but he is the supreme. He is param brahma. His abode is param dhamma. He is the original pure, pavitram, paramam bhavan, purusham, shasvatam divyam, adidevam, ajam vibhum. His abode is eternal, his pastimes are eternal, and we are also eternal. We are meant to engage in pastimes with him. Not pastimes with this material world. Everything here is just a temporary manifestation. It will all be finished very quickly. Just like in the summer season, or just after the rainy season, just after spring comes the summer. So in the springtime there is nice rain, and so many flowers come. Spring showers bring May flowers. There was this poem. April showers bring May flowers. So when there's nice rain in April, then so much grass and greenery and flowers and nice plants start to grow, and everything looks very beautiful. And that time is said to be a very beautiful time for lovers, because they, or anyone, you go out into the spring, just after the rains, you go out and everything is very nice. There's a nice scent, aroma in the air, and people like to wander in the parks and enjoy a nice time. But all of that only lasts for a short time. Then the summer comes and it is very hot and there is less water and the grass begins to dry up and the flowers shrivel, and then the fall comes and it becomes cold. And everything turns green, turns different colors, and the leaves fall off the trees, and then the winter comes, and it's all gone. So it's just a temporary manifestation of greenery and beauty. So the material world is like that. Again and again, it is manifest, and again it is annihilated. Year after year, we see the seasons changing, and millennium after millennium, the whole universe is constantly changing, going through different cycles. Satya Treta Dwapar Kali, Satya Treta Dwapar Kali, and sometimes Satya Dwapar Treta Kali. because actually Dwapar means second, and Treta means third. But in this particular millennium, there has been overlapping. So Treta has come before Dwapar. But it is a cycle. And we are born again and again. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that, Arjuna asked, how is it that you spoke this knowledge to Vibhishwan? You're saying you spoke this Bhagavad Gita to Vibhishwan, but Vibhishwan was millions of years ago. How could you have spoken to him? And Krishna says, yes, many births both you and I have passed. But I can remember all of them. You cannot, Arjuna. So we have also passed many, many births. We have been wandering in the material world, looking for something substantial, something deep, something that warms us up, something which is exciting, something which we get out of bed in the morning and we feel excited about. It gives us a great thrill. We want happiness that is fulfilling, lasting. It doesn't depend on how much money we have, or how many friends we have, or how much prestige. People are playing so many games, playing politics to get facility, thinking these things, material facility, will make them happy. But here is happiness that doesn't depend on any of that. It is self-happiness. Atma-rama, a self-realized soul, he is happy in any condition. When King Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, Lord Shiva laughed at Parvati. He said, you don't know. He is a devotee of the Lord. He is happy in any condition. He is a Narayana Para. He is a devotee of Narayana. Narayana Para Sarve Nakutaschana Bibhyati Svarga Apavargasya Narakeshvapi Tulyati Darshina. Whether he is in Svarga, heaven, or he is in Naraka, in hell, he doesn't derive his happiness from the material conditions of life. He's relishing spiritual happiness. So in heaven or hell, he's always thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna, and he's always feeling nectar, experiencing nectar. Parinama mritopam. That is the result of following this process of purification, this process of bhakti yoga. There's no need to import anything. Happiness is already with you. Happiness is already there in the soul. We just have to scrape away that which is covering our real condition. We're covered by so many layers of contamination in the form of lust, anger, and greed. But we have to purify our condition. Then automatically our natural happy condition, original, just like a drop of water falls from the cloud. That water from the cloud is actually distilled water. Rain water is very pure. In Asian countries, in villages, many people, they put on the roof some steel bucket, and they gather the rainwater for drinking because it's better than any well or any piped in water with chlorine all in it. And the rainwater is distilled water. But as soon as the water hits the ground, it mixes with the earth and it becomes polluted. It's no longer pure. So our consciousness is originally pure, but when it comes in contact with material energy, then we develop so many different impurities. Now we have to change our condition. We have a skin disease, and we have to cure that. Anha Aushadhi Maya, Bhaktivinoda sings about the holy name. I have brought the medicine of the holy name to cure disease. Anha Aushadhi Maya. Aushadhi means medicine. Nashi Bara Lagi. Nashi, it destroys the skin disease which we have. Hari Naam Maha Mantra. Lao Tumi Magi. Give me that holy name. Give me the sweet holy name, the taste of the sweet holy name. Anavriti Shabdat. By this transcendental sound, you will be freed. By chanting Krishna's name, Bhakti Yoga, this is the prescribed method in this age. No other method of self-realization is as effective and as blissful. Nastieva, nastieva, nastieva. Not karma yoga, not jnana yoga, not astanga yoga. No other process. Only this bhakti. Because Krishna himself helps the devotee. In other ages, you might take to some system of yoga, like Ashtanga yoga, and you depend upon your own ability to practice austerity. But here in bhakti yoga, Krishna immediately is attracted by the devotee's loving sentiments, and he helps the devotee. He personally takes charge of the devotee's life and helps him. He reciprocates, he responds to your loving feelings. Krishna is attracted by love. He's ajita, but he is attracted by someone who gives up everything and surrenders to him in love and devotion. Not by Gyani Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva. One who gives up this idea that I will know God by my own effort, by my own endeavor, by my own work. I will know the truth. We have to give up this mentality that we can control. We've got the whole problem in material life is we have this idea that we are the controllers. And that's the main reason why we came to the material world. We wanted to compete with Krishna. Imagine that, we wanted to compete with God. Big ambition. You know, just supposing you wanted to compete with Carl Lewis in running the 100-yard dash, you know, or you wanted to compete with, who's that? There's one world champion who's a vegetarian. Edwin Moses. Okay, he's got a good name. Funny, Moses. I always, all over the Western world, you see the sign, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. So someone has made a sticker, Jesus saves, Moses invests. Whenever I see Moses,
No, he said, Stephen.
Anyway, Edwin Moses, he's... I was reading about a number of some of the best athletes, including in the category of people like Michael Jordan. Have you heard of Michael Jordan? And Magic Johnson. In that category, there are some athletes who have remained top athletes for many, many years, well into their 40s, 40 years and over. Generally, an athlete's life ends at about 33 or 34, 35, because they work their body so hard that by that time it's completely ruined. And generally, they live a sinful life also. They get a lot of money. They're all sudras, but in Kali Yuga, that, you know, that's the standard. Sudras rule. Sudras are our heroes. They play basketball. You know, they run around a court and throw a ball into a hoop. And we pay them millions of dollars to do that. It's incredible. I mean, when you think about it, they found a wonderful way to waste everybody's time. I mean, how much is that going to help you in your life? How much? What value is that for the whole world? You know, there are probably many, many tall people in Ethiopia, but they don't play basketball. They're looking for food to eat. What is the value in this basketball or in football or, you know, all just ways to waste time. So anyway, many of these athletes who last a long time, more than 30 years, they have become vegetarians. And I was reading about a number of them. Not just one or two, but there are many. So, what were we talking about? They want to compete with Krishna. Yeah. We want to compete with Krishna. Therefore, we have this control paradigm. And we have to give that up. Sense gratification is really about exploitation. It's about taking charge of something, either some material object or another person, and using them for your gratification. So, ultimate sense gratification is there in the spiritual world with Krishna. But in that situation, we are used by Krishna. It's the opposite. We are the enjoyed. We are Prakriti. And Krishna is Purusha. Here we want to be Purusha. But in the actual spiritual world, in the actual condition, in our healthy condition, we are enjoyed by Krishna, just as in a family, a wife is enjoyed by her husband. But in a healthy relationship, the wife also enjoys, because she is very happy to cook for her husband and to create a nice household for her husband, and he protects her, and mutually they serve one another. But technically speaking, the wife is enjoyed by the husband. He is the Purusha and she is Prakriti. So we are all meant to be the Prakriti. We are all enjoyed by Krishna. And we can't do that, we can't enter into that relationship with Krishna unless we give up this false mentality that I am the controller. So devotees like Narad Muni, they take the trouble to come and explain to us in so many ways how we are in a diseased condition. And they don't care for our praises or our whatever. They go ahead and cut, even though it may not be so palatable. But they have to tell the truth. Satyam eva jayate. The truth is always victorious. Truth, telling the truth is the best policy, honesty, truthfulness. We don't benefit by lying to ourselves, by covering ourselves in ignorance. Krishna wants us to surrender, and it may be difficult. We're not accustomed to surrender, but that's the truth. And you have to accept it. If you follow Krishna's instructions, then you will definitely become happy. But if you don't follow his instructions, then he's not going to help you. You're on your own in the material world. And you've seen in the past, everyone in the past has died in a miserable condition. Everyone at present is dying. Even the scientists who are promising us prolonged life, they're also dying. And in the future, everyone will die. So there's nothing here in this material world, and struggling hard to try to make the material world a nice place, that's a futile endeavor. It's a waste of time. The only platform of real satisfaction, the only successful life, is a spiritual life. You can do whatever you need to do. Stane stita. You stay in your place. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavatiya vartam. Stane stita shrutigatam. You try to hear about Krishna consciousness. Only hearing about Krishna. Absorb your mind in sound, in kirtan, in discussion of the philosophy, in hearing the pastimes, in making practical plans for executing devotional service. Whatever it is, you try to expose yourself to the radiation of the holy name. Just like the people in Chernobyl. It's a great disaster. They were all exposed to heavy doses of radiation. And now everybody's getting sick there. So many diseases, so many birth defects, so many problems, no good food. Everything's contaminated because they were exposed to the radiation created by foolish men. But we want to expose ourselves to the radiation of the holy name of the Lord, and that will also infect us. Our whole lives will be ruined materially. But that's all right. We will get something better. Param upakar. We will get param drishtva. Higher taste. Higher experience. A better life. So, sutigatam, by hearing. We have to come out of the dense forest of delusion. Maya is like a deep, dark, dense, and dense means many, many trees, deep and dark, dense forest. So we have to get out of the forest of illusion. Yadati moha kalilam. When your intelligence has passed out of buddhir vyatita rishati, when your intelligence, your buddhi, has come out of this dense moha kalilam, forest of moha, illusion. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of illusion, of thinking that I am this bag of skin and blood and stool and urine and pus and mucus and bile and foul air and worms, and that's all the body really is. So when you stop this illusion and you hear transcendental sound, Krishna is worshipped in silence, silence to ignorance. We don't hear, we stop hearing Gramya Katha, and we expose ourselves to the sound vibration of the holy names. Tada Gandhasi Nirvedam Srotavyasya Srutasya. You will become Nirveda, or indifferent, no interest in the sounds of the material world. Everybody is creating sounds in the material world. Everybody's asking questions. Everywhere you go, people are asking, where's food, where's sex, where's shelter? The birds and the bees, they're asking all the same questions. Every living being is making some kind of sound and hearing some kind of sound, asking questions. But it is all simply material sound vibration. Srotavyadini Rajendra Nrinam Shanti Sahasrata Apasyatam Atma Tatram Griheshu Griha Medinam. Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva, what should I do? What should I do now, and what should I do at the time of death? What kind of things should I do that will give me the most benefit? Parikshit had a short time to live, and therefore he wanted to cut away all these superfluous things, and he wanted to get right to the essence. What should I do that will give me the greatest benefit now? And Sukadev Goswami told him that your question is very, very nice. Varinayishate prashna krito loka hitam nripa atma vid samata pungsam sotavyadishuya paraha. This question is beneficial for everyone. Both the question and the answer are important. All the self-realized souls, atma vid, they agree, samatam, they agree. This is the best kind of question and answer. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now is the time. As human beings, we have this ability to ask about God, to inquire about spiritual life. All the animals are eating and sleeping and mating and defending. We shouldn't imitate animals, trying to compete with them, to become just a royal addition to the animal kingdom, sophisticated cats and dogs.
We're not meant to be like that.
We're human beings. We have a chance to get free from all our pain and all our suffering. We can get free. Even in this body, if we act with body, mind, and words, karmanam manasa gira shrutigatam tanuvan mano bir, if we hear about Krishna and act upon what we hear, not just hearing, but you act upon it, do something, change the quality of your life, not the quantity, but change the quality of your life. More is not better. Just having more things is not a better life. Having a deeper life, a more meaningful life, a purified life, this will lead you in the right direction. And once you get on that path, once you taste a little bit, even a drop of the nectar of real spiritual life, then you will become indifferent to the material world. You'll lose your interest in it. You'll see how superficial and antithetical it is to your real condition. It is the opposite, it's the antithesis of your constitutional happiness. You are a spiritual being, and you're now having a material experience. You're not a material being. So when we come to this platform is something very rare. Even demigods don't come to this stage of realization very quickly. They become preoccupied with sense gratification. They have so much facility. That's one of the dangers. Too much bhogaisvarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhana vidyate. The resolute determination to become Krishna conscious. It takes energy, it takes application. You have to be a yogi. That means you have to concentrate on what you're doing. You have to focus. To practice yoga means to focus your mind and your energy on Krishna, in serving Krishna and loving Krishna. You have to focus on developing loving relationships with Krishna. That's the goal. Yavanartha udapane sarvata samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. When you know the goal, you've achieved the benefit of going through all the book. Nowadays they sell you tapes. You can buy books on tape and you can get a summary of the book. Someone else has read the book and they've extracted the essence of the book, and then they put that on a cassette tape for you, and you can just hear the essence. You don't have to waste your time in all the small things, unimportant things in the book. You get the meaning. So we've got the essence of all searching for truth. The essence is bhavanam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvam iti. There's nothing more in our lives than God. Natevidu swadagatim hi Vishnu. This is our swadagatim, our self-interest. This is what we have been looking for throughout this lifetime and all of our previous lifetimes. We've been wandering, looking for this knowledge,
where this key, it's our loving relationship with God, which is important. And now we have to focus on that by practice of yoga. And bhakti yoga gives us directly the experience, the knowledge, the ability to achieve perfection. So we must take up seriously the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means rules and regulations. As neophyte devotees, we need to follow some regulations. Tasmatvam indriyanya dao niyamya bharatashabha. In the beginning, adao niyamya. Rules and regulations. But gradually we'll become accustomed. Gradually we will develop spontaneous attraction. And gradually everything will become very natural. Loving Krishna is not artificial. Loving Krishna is natural. So this is our self-interest, but we have to make some effort. We have to take the steps. Krishna is not going to force us. We have to step towards Him. He will come towards us also, but we have to make that effort. It's only available for those who want it badly. We have to demonstrate that we don't want the material world anymore. We're fed up here. If you have even a tinge of material desire left, then Krishna will give you an opportunity to fulfill that. Yeta mam prapadyante tangstadaiva bhajamyaham. Whatever you want. If you want the material world still, if you think there's some happiness here, if you're that foolish, you think that you can enjoy here, you still think you can conquer over material energy, you think you can become eternal in this body, full of bliss and knowledge, while becoming the controller, becoming God, well, good luck. But as far as we are concerned, we don't want anymore. We're tired. Very, very tired. We've tried very hard. For millions of births, we've tried so hard to become God. And we've learned that we're just dog, not God. Someone who says he is God, G-O-D, is actually dog, D-O-G. Now we want to surrender to Krishna. And Krishna is so kind that he has made it easy for us. He loves us. He's broken all the rules and regulations. Throw out the rules. It doesn't matter. Okay. You can't follow the rule. That doesn't matter. Forget it. Just chant Hare Krishna. And Krishna will save you. Even if you're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We require God's mercy. Even if we can't be. If you follow the rules and life regulations, your life will be more peaceful. If you just chant Hare Krishna and don't follow the rules and regulations, then you'll always be complaining about so many problems in life. Because Nihi Sansparsa Jaboga Dukha Yonaya. This is the Dukkha Yoni, is the birth of all of our suffering, is our contact with the sense objects. So lack of regulation causes us disease, causes us mental anxiety. All our problems are caused by our sinful life. But even if you can't, apichet sudaracharo, even if you have trouble, but bhajate mam ananyabhak, if you just fix yourself in chanting Krishna's names and doing some service, gradually you will achieve full perfection in spiritual life. Because Krishna is so kind that he wants you to come back even though you don't want to. He will drag you back. He will send Narad Muni to instruct you. In different ways. He will send Narad Muni's representatives like Srila Prabhupada. So are there any questions or comments? Yeah?
Is it necessary for a person who is on the Bhagavad level to come on the mental? And then the spiritual or can accept it directly? Is it possible? Is it necessary?
Question is, there are different planes of existence. There's the physical, mental, intellectual, and spiritual. So someone who's on the gross bodily plane, do they have to first get on the mental plane before they can come to the spiritual plane? No. Krishna says, Mam hi partha vyapasritya yepi su papayonaya striyo vaishastata sudras te pianti param gatim. Anyone can come to the highest destination. That is formally by following the system of karma kanda, one could gradually advance by fulfilling his desires. But Narad Muni chastised Vyasadeva that in this age of Kali, people will get waylaid. They will become engrossed in sense gratification. And I've seen it's very dangerous. I had one devotee coming to see me in New York, and he was quite crazy fellow. He was I don't know what you would call him, a punk rocker, or he was one of those kind of people that he had, anyway, written on the back of his head, big tattoo, no more pain. But anyway, he was one of those kind of people who would go to rock concerts and dances, and he and his friends, and they would go with chains, and they would purposely get in fights with people, and just, they were angry. Angry with everyone, angry at everything. They had no idea why, they were just angry. And they just wanted to cause suffering and misery. And ultimately his message was that no more pain. He was in pain. He was suffering on every level. And he was actually from a wealthy family, and he was supposed to receive every month a good sum of money from a trust fund, but because he was angry with the trustees of the fund, they wouldn't give him the money. So many things. And he had a very difficult time getting settled in devotional service. So therefore, I instructed him to just regulate his life. And I said, you don't worry about this thing or that thing. You just try to go to school,
and you know, be nice to your mother, and you know, in other words, I tried to calm him down, bring him to a level, some kind of level of sanity. But unfortunately, I wasn't there long enough to, you know, a doctor sometimes gives a patient some medicine, and the medicine may be the correct medicine, but the doctor has to supervise the effects of the medicine and gradually change the dosage or whatever. So unfortunately, it appears now he has become quite sane, relatively speaking, but he's lost his Krishna consciousness. He's become too sane, or too insane, however you look at it. And now he's going back to school and getting his degree. He's getting A+ average or 4.0 average, and now he's very proud of himself, and now he's getting his, he's dealing with the trustees nicely, and he's getting his monthly money now. But you know, he's afraid of coming to Krishna consciousness because he knows in his heart that it's the right thing, but he'll lose all his sense gratification. He's afraid he'll lose his sense gratification. So I should have just given him more of the straight sauce, hot sauce. I should have either been there to supervise more carefully, or maybe I shouldn't. Sometimes that kind of instruction, people get distracted. So Narad Muni, he chastised Beda Vyasa that you've encouraged sense gratification in the name of religion. Better you just directly glorify Krishna. So then Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya could see that people could not take advantage even of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They were so manda bhagya, or unfortunate. Manda sumatayo manda bhagya. In this Kali Yuga, people are very short memory, very poor intelligence, troubled by bad karma. When you're troubled by a lot of bad karma, spiritual life is difficult because you can't concentrate. You're always worrying about your material situation. So it's unfortunate in this age, everybody's troubled by bad karma. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Unlucky, little interest in spiritual life. No memory, bad karma. So Lord Chaitanya said, okay, we'll make it easier for them. I will come and I will preach the holy names and I will distribute myself and my holy, and they don't have to do anything. They just have to chant. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So you can go directly to the spiritual platform. You don't have to waste time on the mental platform or even on the intellectual platform. We want, our hearts are very cold, hard. So if we chant the holy names, then our hearts will melt and we will become lovers of Krishna and experience nectar and ecstasy in a very, so quickly. We're not yogis. They practice austerity. And they practice pranayama. In the Brahma Samhita, it's called drilling the respiration, breathing exercises.
So they do this for millions of years. And still they're not even able to approach the toe of Krishna's lotus feet. And we're getting that experience in one short lifetime without any pre-qualification. This is wonderful. How we're getting an opportunity to associate directly with Krishna and to experience transformation in our life. We're becoming intoxicated with love of God. And it's so exciting and it's so wonderful. It takes a little bit of surrender. Just a little bit. Any other questions? Sincerely trying. I don't know. We're hoping against hope. Our contamination is been there for such a long time. We have so many bad habits. Lifetime after lifetime, we've been cultivating sinful activities. The holy name is very powerful, but we have to chant without offenses. So, it's really the question is, how sincerely we try to follow Krishna's instructions. And maybe Krishna will bless us with anartha nivritti syat. And maybe we won't quite make it perfectly. But if we keep struggling, Srila Prabhupada was asked by one disciple, Srila Prabhupada, what makes you happy? And Prabhupada said, I'm happy when I see you struggling. Doesn't mean that Prabhupada was a nasty man who liked to see us struggling and suffering. You have to struggle in material life. You can't become a millionaire overnight. It takes a few days. You have to struggle hard day and night. If you want to be successful materially, you have to put in a lot of hard work day and night. And you have to struggle because there are many other people who are struggling just as hard as you are, and they want to push you down. In the material world, you become successful by stepping on other people's heads. So, spiritually, we also struggle, but for something real, something nice, something valuable. Otherwise, material life has nothing to offer. So many people climb the ladder of success. They climb up the ladder of success. And they get to the top of the ladder, and then they find the ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. They've ruined their lives. They have 3 divorces behind them. You know, so many unhappy children, and broken relationships, no friends. They're the top of the company. They're the managing director. They have a big bank account. They drive in a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. Now it's BMW. Nobody wants Mercedes-Benz anymore. In India. Sometimes in colleges I give a talk, and it's funny, I say Mercedes-Benz and none of the kids get excited. So then I say BMW. Seems BMW is more sporty. Something, huh? Yeah? So if you just do your very best, try to love Krishna. You should attack, you should be unrelenting. You have to try and get rid of your anarthas, because these anarthas make life uncomfortable. When you're healthy, then everything you do is enjoyable. But when you're unhealthy, anything you do is uncomfortable. So if you still have anarthas, that's an unhealthy condition. So you should try to purify your existence, because you'll just be happier even in this world. By Krishna consciousness, we can be happy even in the material world. In the material world, people cannot even be happy. Even people say, I don't believe in God. I want to work for a happy material life. That's all I want. They say like that, but we see that they never achieve that. Their desires are unlimited. They're never satisfied. Dushparena analena cha. Their senses are always burning, never satisfied. And they're troubled by their bad karma. And even though they say, I will just work, but there's always so much unemployment. In America, amazing. People who were earning $100,000, $200,000 a year. All of a sudden, the economy collapsed. There was a depression in the 80s. And everybody started to lay off people. We called it downsizing, re-engineering the corporation. And big executives were out of a job. They had to go mowing lawns. They were earning $200,000 a year. They had a big house and a car and a big mortgage and a lot of expenses. Their children were going to the best schools. Their wives were accustomed to going to the grocery store and buying everything they liked. And now they're only getting $15,000-$20,000 a year. And they have to immediately sell their house, move into an apartment. Their kids have to go to regular school, and they're in great anxiety, great distress. So even if you struggle materially, there's no guarantee of success. But if you struggle to please Krishna, even if you're not successful, you're successful. Krishna is pleased by your effort, your sincere effort. Don't cheat yourself if you're only fooling. If you're not sincere, then Krishna will understand. But if you pray to Krishna and feel remorseful, feel repentant because of any anarthas you may have, you truly feel repentant, then Krishna will forgive you. And you'll be surprised. He'll give you strength also. He'll make you into Übermanns. German. Superman, huh? Uber, how do you say it? Übermanns? Übermanns. Yeah. So, only Krishna can make you Superman. Any other questions? We were discussing this the other day. Someone was asking how critical should I be of myself? How hard should I be on myself? Because if I look at myself critically, I will see that I, as they say in the Bible, I fall short of the glory of God. If I look, actually, probably everyone has got a few skeletons in the closet. It's an English expression. Unseen by others. I remember once, anyway, this is a crazy story. I don't know how it happened. But that's a really stupid story. Anyway. The first time I ever experienced chemical elevation of consciousness. it happened to be with a group of people who I didn't know from Adam. I didn't know any of them. I'd met them when I was vacationing in some small town. So I had heard a lot about this chemical elevation of consciousness. And I was a seeker of truth, and so I wanted to see. So anyway, they gave me some purple Osley and whatever. And, of course, I got completely zonked. Special language here. I became completely, you know, stoned. And so these people were all very experienced, and they all knew each other. So they were playing games, having fun. I was like, wow, where am I? What's going on here with my mind? And I couldn't move, actually. I was like frozen. So somebody told me, that he got behind me and he ran his hand around the top of my head. Of course, then I had a lot of hair. But anyway, ran his finger around the top of my head, pressing. And he said, "Now we're taking the top of your head off." And he said, "We're going to look and see what your thoughts are."
I completely freaked out. I didn't want him to see what my thoughts were. I didn't mind if he took the top of my head off. But to see my thoughts? Can you imagine if someone could actually see your thoughts right now? I always felt very bad in front of Srila Prabhupada, because he was so pure that you could immediately tell. You know, he just radiated purity, and he had that aura, that vibration. And he was so wise. He was mystical. There are many, many stories devotees will tell you about mystical experiences that he had with Srila Prabhupada. Not big things. He didn't make a show. But so many instances where Prabhupada would say that this will happen or that will happen or would do this or do that. And it was just like material energy was dancing to his singing. So I didn't like to be in his association. I would always try to be in the room, but hiding behind someone so he couldn't see me. Because I always felt that he could see my thoughts and my heart. And I felt so humble that I'm not a pure devotee. So we all have, nobody's perfect. We're all struggling to be good devotees, and that's good. We should keep on struggling. Got an email letter from one disciple, Yashoda. Maybe that's it. You know Yashoda?
Yes.
So she sent me a message as part of a letter. The letter, she just sent a message at the end. Tell Maharaj I'm struggling. So she knew that I would be happy that she's struggling to become Krishna conscious. We should never leave, but if it becomes difficult, go on trying, struggling, and Krishna will help you. And you will be successful. You will be victorious. Krishna knows how to drive your chariot. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha Tatra Shir Vijayabhutir Dhruva Nityir Mama. Don't worry. Have no fear. Moksha Yishami Ma Shuchaha. Krishna knows how to guide your spiritual life. Just keep yourself in the radiation, in the fire of devotional life. Keep trying, keep struggling, and very quickly you will be successful and you will get all the fruits of love of God. But you have to sincerely keep on trying to be Krishna conscious. Learning, growing, experiencing a little more taste, a little more attraction. You take two steps forward and one step back, or sometimes one step forward and two steps back. Keep going. You're on the right path. That in itself is very significant. The fact that you come to the right path. You're going in the right direction. Just keep going. We'll go together. So, any more questions? Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai!
Jyotsinda Maharaj ki
jai!
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!